internet and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good afternoon and welcome to The Gamer Show. How are you all this fine, fine afternoon?
Pretty good.
Pretty good, yes?
Yeah, we're live, so don't say f***.
Before we started this show, it's my stag do this afternoon. And
Corporate entertainment day.
Sorry. And we are leaving immediately after recording this.
Bring on the sodomy.
I don't need
to beep sodomy.
I said before the show, can we avoid all swearing, please, so that we don't have to edit this, because I need to just publish it straight after we do the show. And that's what you do to me.
I thought that was a nice, easy
part. Oh, yeah.
Right at the beginning.
Right at the beginning. You'll find
you could have just stopped and started again.
Yeah. Oh, dear. No, that makes it more entertaining. Anyway, we have some reviews this week, gentlemen. Or we have one review, rather.
Well, that's 90% more than we usually get.
100% more than we
100%
usually
get. More.
Well, we have... No. We have had them before.
We have had them before.
Mostly from people that we know.
Yeah, I don't think we know this guy.
Bribed.
Yeah.
Braved?
Braved.
We braved them.
Whatever you want.
You braided them.
Braped.
So yes, we've had a review. Thank you very much, Lee Johnson, for your review on the 15th of August of the year of our Lord 2012. This is gold. It's a 5-star review for me. For me, it starts, so it's for him.
Yeah.
For me, this is the perfect blend of contemporary gaming discussion whilst marvelling at everything that is delightfully bad about the gaming world. The Farm Simulator game, for example. Hilarious. Down to earth, intelligent, and extremely fun. Excuse me. I keep getting my tongue tied around the word funny. Gentlemen, I salute you. Great show. Thank you very much, Lee. Really appreciate that. We salute you too, sir.
Yeah.
I take it he's just discovered the internet.
Yeah, and we're the best thing on it so far. Thank you very much, Lee. We really, really appreciate that.
So between you and the cat videos, they are awesome.
I hope one day that you escape into the real world and find funny things.
First and foremost, we were all very disappointed to find out that when Gamescon's guide listed Half-Life 3 for a show reveal, it actually transpired that wasn't actually the case. I was disappointed, to say the least.
I cried for 3 days.
Oh.
Well, it was the Tuesday after the last show was released, and this is how disappointed we were. Normally, I put together a Google Doc for the show notes, and I normally do it about maybe 5 or 6 days before the show. Sam rarely opens it.
That is not fair. I open it, I just don't read it.
Well, this is how important this news article was to Sam. He started the Google Doc 2 days after the last show went live.
Yeah.
He had a full-on boner. I had a semi.
I totally did.
I was sceptical. I had a semi.
Oh, dear. Anyway, so basically the news story was that Gamescon Guide listed Half-Life 3, and there was another game, I can't remember what it was now. Anyway, doesn't matter. Listed Half-Life 3 as being revealed at the show, but it did have a caveat at the bottom that said the show organisers apparently take no responsibility for the accuracy of the information. So, basically...
So who bashed out this list?
Well, pretty pointless doing that, isn't it? Like, this is what's going on, but actually I really don't know.
Well, apparently Wired.co.uk's editor, Nate Laxon, who, actually I maybe pronounced his last name wrong, he's actually going to be in the Big Show next week, so listen to the Big Show and listen to Nate, and we might talk about it. Well, actually probably won't, it's probably way past that now, but he wrote that it's believed that this list was compiled to showcase potential releases as harvested from opinion and speculation in games media, internet forums and blogs, not from the developers themselves. However... Aerosoft's Clone Dusseldorf DLC downloadable content for Train Simulator 2012 is still listed, so it's not all bad news.
Awesome.
So funnily enough,
we have that for your game this week.
Have I not already had Train Simulator? No, I own Train Simulator actually.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Well, no, actually, technically, my dad does, but I have played it.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, when the Valve unveiling Half-Life 3 like that doesn't seem like it's something they would do anyway.
No.
There'll be a show which people
they'll
are
pop
not
out of
be,
a hedge,
yeah, exactly,
wearing a mat and just flash it at us at the last second.
It's Gabe Newell will just drop from the rafters where dressed as a giant head crab and land on someone and go, half for three!
We've got a show title, Gabe Newell. What was it, crab?
Head crab.
Head crab.
getting your head crab. Fancy? Yeah, yeah. That's great. Anyway, disappointment aside, there have been some confirmed announcements this week. So Undead Labs have announced State of Decay, which is essentially, as far as I can see, a sandbox zombie shooter. Is that a fair assumption there?
Yeah, yeah. It was quite cool. Just,
it did look quite cool.
A third person one where it's basically it's a zombie apocalypse, which is kind of done to death. But this one seems quite cool, where you basically I don't know if there's actually any proper goals. You just try to survive in this world, and you can actually choose where you want to actually set where you want to stay, and then go out for runs for supplies, whatnot, and befriend AI. I don't know if it's online at all. They say, like, for example, me and Sam could hide in a cupboard together while hugging.
Well, that would be most
nights.
I know, but
it's cold in your house. Yeah. You know, you've got to.
I want to do it in a virtual world where you're more attractive.
No, well, that's fair enough.
It does. The article mentions that there's a choice being a major part of gameplay, but have we ever actually seen a game where choice really is a major part of gameplay? I mean, the advert kind of said that things you do kind of change the sandbox around you, but yeah, normally that means that you get two endings.
Yeah.
You know.
It usually varies, like, you can, usually in most games, choice, you can do this or that, but it just kind of means you got, right, here's all the levels, you can do it any order you want.
Ah, right, okay, it's something like that.
I don't know, I'm hoping it may be a bit more to it, rather. There's not many games where you can actually, what you choose and what you do properly changes the story and characters and stuff. Like, the original Deus Ex maybe had a bit of that, although the levels were set out, you could kill a character early on and he wouldn't appear, or you could actually save him, but... Mm-hmm. And then he'd reappear to help you or be against you, which was quite cool.
It's actually sad that things don't seem to have progressed any further than that. And how old is that game?
Oh, it was 1990, I think.
Pretty pathetic, really.
Yeah, it'd be between 98 and 2000 it came out. Yeah. So it'd be 2000.
Like, yeah. So late 90s, yeah.
1990, Christ, where did I get that from? you're right.
Yeah, so it's maybe a space issue, though. Until we kind of manage to fit zettabytes onto DVD drives. You know, because you're going to need a huge amount of data to have a game that actually does mold with what you're doing. Maybe it's next generation consoles. Anyway.
Cloud.
No, we're not going down the cloud. We talk about the cloud almost every show. I'm desperately trying to avoid the cloud this year.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, though, that it could be hosted on a server.
Yeah, it could be.
And you can access it through that. But anyway, crack on.
Yes, so apparently the best new game...
Cloud.
Apparently the best new game at Gamescom was Remember Me. This actually looks really cool.
Yeah,
I don't remember it.
IGN reports, this game is set in 2084 in a futuristic Paris. It's a science fiction thriller wherein people can remix and erase memories with weapons that look a little bit like brain tasers. Even giving one person another one's memories. The game's heroine seems to be a former agent who has her own memory erased and is now being hunted down without knowing why. But the trailer, we'll stick a trailer in the show notes from IGN, actually looks really, really cool.
It was cool. The amnesia thing's nothing new to gaming, it's kind of done to death. But I did like the twist of the trailer I saw was she was told that she had to make someone, which basically she had to take out a target, and the way she took out the target was she went into his memory and she played out a scene between this guy and his wife having an argument, but then the scene ends with her leaving, but then she could rewind it and change it so it ends up him thinking that he's killed her when he hasn't, so he ends up killing himself afterwards. Mm. And I thought that's quite clever.
But it was quite cool. They replayed it a couple of times, and she made different changes.
I'd like to see maybe a wee bit more choice in those sort of scenarios of how you get to the goal. They can introduce that. I think either way, it's quite a cool
almost like
feature.
You're taking control of one of the characters, because I wasn't sure if you actually were in control of them to begin with.
Yeah.
And it was then, as the trailer went on, you kind of realised that you were just kind of sitting watching it, and then you made a couple of choices when you replayed it.
Yeah.
So, like, for example, the first time it went through, the chap's kind of holding the gun towards his girlfriend or his ex-girlfriend, and he clicks the trigger and the safety's on. So then you replay it, and the player switches the safety off to begin with, so when he clicks the trigger, it actually kills her. But I kind of maybe it's another element of the game. You're going to actually be able to play one of those characters. It's in some cutscenes. Mm. Some of them, it's a decision process and a kind of a decision tree or something like that. But look, very, very interesting.
It can't be very action heavy though, because if you're doing that for each and every person that you come across, that would be hefty.
It's rest game is very much a third person sort of scaling, Uncharted,
Assassin's Creed kind of looking thing.
Stealth sort of game
with less killings than Assassin's Creed.
Yes, presumably.
Possibly, although in the trailer, some bits of Sun Shroom, which might be in the cinematic, she was kind of shooting guns and jumping around as well. So I think it's quite varied.
Okay. Well, when you were looking at the trailer, though, did you not think that she was the only person kind of wearing futuristic clothes? Everybody else was meandering about in suits and jumpers and jeans. And she had this kind of almost manga-esque looking outfit that had what looked a little bit like a butt shield.
A butt shield?
Well, she did have this kind of plastic area that kind of went beyond her butt that almost seemed to be some kind of butt shield.
A butt shield.
That's what it looked like. Maybe, watch the trailer. You haven't watched the trailer,
maybe,
I know.
But maybe sexual harassment's a big thing in Paris in the future.
It is, the French.
All right.
So,
apologies to the French.
Black Isle's Facebook and website jumps back into life. That was about a week ago. So Black Isle are the company that was behind many moons ago Baldur's Gate and Fallout. And apparently the Facebook page bursted back into life and had a lot of content on it and kind of suggesting that something might be happening there. So Black Isle Studios is given a division of Interplay formed to develop and publish high-quality role-playing games. The website claimed the Black Isle is responsible for the world's best role-playing games. What does this mean? It's been dead for, what, 4 or 5 years?
I don't know. When did they die? I'm not entirely sure.
Was it 4 or 5 years ago? I'm not sure exactly when.
I don't know. It just depends what actually member, if they've still got good developers or getting them back. So I mean, I assume they've not all just been sitting in an office.
Just patiently waiting in stasis.
Yeah, just covered in cobwebs going, when shall I return?
I think it is quite exciting if anyone who did anything before is part of it.
Yeah,
if
it's just, which I doubt.
If it's just like someone as pointless as me, who's bought the name and now is just sitting on a chair going,
actually, we never actually checked. It could maybe be Black Isle spelt slightly differently.
Yeah.
No, I don't think it is. I think it's actually them kind of. I mean,
it'd be awesome
if they
brought out some
it.
Amazing games, but we shall see.
It's good to actually see a developer come back with the amount of many developers dying at the moment.
Yeah, that is true. It's a lovely segue.
Yep, helps out there, eh? That's how we do a segue, Paul. Stuff you.
So on that, it's actually been a fairly depressing week in gaming in that On Live, well, didn't quite go bust, but they basically sold off their assets and their name. We'll cover that in a second.
And half their staff or something.
Half their staff. THQ and PopCap both laying off staff. Sony's Liverpool studio has closed and Nintendo Power Magazine ceasing production. So it's
Well, I have a big subscriber to that.
I imagine you are.
Its magazines are kind of dying anyway, right? Yeah. Especially Nintendo magazine, surely. But
yeah, definitely. But I mean, I on occasion I don't really subscribe to many gaming magazines, but when I do, I get them on newsstand on tablet. For reading. But the On Live thing was quite interesting in that what they seemed to do was they took the name and all the assets of the company. Closed the company, sold all the assets to another company, or like passed all the assets over to another company, rehired half the staff, and then carried on. Still called On Live.
Yeah.
So,
because I'm sure I read like somewhere that they had bought, they weren't sure how, when they first formed it, they weren't sure how many servers they should have.
That was it, yeah.
So they bought like 6,000 servers, and then they only had like 1,600 constant users for 6,000 servers. It's like, oh God.
And so I would imagine they've kind of restructured their server farm in some way.
So.
But yeah, it's a little bit of a shame. THQ and PopCap also doing layoffs this week. PopCap about to having announced also this week that they're releasing Plants vs. Zombies 2. So that's interesting.
Is anyone a fan of that game?
I do like Plants vs. Zombies.
I'm not a fan of...
I played it twice, but...
Its tower defence games kind of annoy me.
I did for a little while and then I was done with it. But can I just ask, what else have they done? Apart from
Plants vs. Zombies.
Of any relevance.
I'm sure they would have done, actually.
It's popular,
Have they done anything else that's good? Because I can't think of anything. But that means nothing.
Yeah.
Bear with me. I will just head over to the internet mobile.
Oh, good.
And that'll tell me. PopCap have also done Bejeweled, actually.
Oh, that's popular for no apparent reason.
Yeah. They've also done Bookworm, which I've never heard of. Peggle, yeah. A Chuzzle.
Oh, I have heard of Peggle, actually.
I wonder what Chuzzle is.
I like that. It's a little furry thing with eyes.
Yeah, I don't know what it does, though. They've
got other
stuff. I mean, it seems to be kind of iOS games. Slide, Prod, and Nudge Chuzzles. It's almost like kind of a Tetris-type thing. To match three or more and send fur flying. Actually, it's very like kind of Bejeweled, actually. but with fluffy animals with googly eyes.
Okay, we're dropping that.
Yeah, we'll leave that one alone. But the point is, it's just a bit of a sad couple of weeks in gaming, actually.
Except for the ones that deserve it.
Well, Nintendo Power Magazine, I suppose, is just kind of a sign of the times. People going away from paper mags. Mm. I know it was kind of Nintendo Power's thing, but they always had kind of hand-drawn covers, which didn't really pop out as much as like kind of like things that actually had proper screen grabs. It was always a bit kind of... looked a little bit like a zine.
Well, I don't know. It depends on artwork and artists, I suppose.
I mean, they were well done, but yeah. Anyway, moving on the subject of Nintendo. Yes.
It's a crap segment. Blew you out of the water this week.
Nintendo are holding an event, a Wii U event, on September the 13th.
Assuming that'll be price and release dates for all the regions, I would have thought.
Well, you can hope so, but what would you reckon the price is going to be?
I think if it's any more than £250-300, then that's too much. I think.
Yeah.
I think it has to be. I think if it's under 250, then I think that'll be pretty acceptable. If it's 200, then brilliant. But if it's near 300 or over 300, then
will this be the game of the Christmas? Let's be sellouts everywhere. So
I think
after the Wii U, I think it'll sell well at first, but then go the same way as the Wii U. A lot of people, oh, this is a new thing, Nintendo. Ooh, it's awesome. But I've always said a console is defined by its games. Mm-hmm. And that's why me personally, the Wii was a disappointment.
Rubbish, yeah. But I think it's more than possible it'll have that kind of family appeal all over again that the Wii had. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking the price might be a bit lower because they kind of marketed the Wii as that cheaper kind of cheap and cheerful in a way model. Yeah. But this time it's got the fancy controller with the and it's just going to boost the price by quite a bit.
It just depends how much it's cost to actually manufacture that controller, because the actual console itself is only fractionally like it's a bit more powerful than the Xbox 360 and PS3, which after they're like what 6-7 years old now, it shouldn't be too much to cost to make the actual console, but it'll be the controller that'll be.
It also depends on how much of a loss leader they're willing to make.
Yeah,
rather.
Because it was Microsoft. It took like what was it, 3-4 years till they actually started making a profit.
Yeah, they'd lost money, but it was just Bill Gates wanted a computer and it attached to everybody's telly was the basic goal.
It's a good idea.
And he succeeded in that. So, well done, Bill. It's a shame you left that in place, but never mind.
Hey ho, crack on, Paul.
He got own swear word after the after the massive tailing off we got.
Naughty.
Well, now we know what it takes. It takes a CEO of Microsoft to piss Paul off. You'd have to be pissed. You know.
Sony's PlayStation Vita to work as a PS3 controller, similar to how the Nintendo U works. This is interesting, I suppose.
Yeah.
I was a bit confused by this because I am sure the original PlayStation Portable worked as. Was there not like a Formula One game you could use the PlayStation Portable as your rear view mirror or something that?
Yeah, but that's the only game really to took advantage. You couldn't use it as a. Well, could use it as a controller. I don't even remember. I've got one. I've got one original, the PSP, but never play it because it's crap.
God of War was quite good enough.
Yeah, I think only games I've got is God of War and the two Metal Gear Solid games, and that was it. And I played them, and then. Yeah. But the controls were just because it had the one stick, and it basically afterwards you felt like you had been handicapped by this controller. It's just like you couldn't do anything all day because your hands were just claws after playing it for like 10 minutes. But I think the PSP does look quite cool. I wouldn't mind having one, but I'm not going to pay how much it costs to get one, to be honest.
PlayStation Vita.
PlayStation Vita, sorry.
Yeah.
But they have said that. That they've both seen, they've tried to it's Nintendo down by saying, oh, but we can do basically everything the Wii U can do with our PSP Vita. It's just like, do it.
hang on though, but it's a bit of an empty boast if you're saying that, because how much is a Vita?
180, I think.
And then how much is the console in itself?
About the same.
So
whereas the Wii U, I imagine the controllers are probably going to be a little bit more for the, and not a little bit more than the Vita, but you are going to have to pay a little bit.
But I mean, that's a fairly hefty price to be able to play.
And the article that I was reading, the new feature will be included in the software update for the Vita to be released on October the 28th. But Sony said it will only work if gamers buy two copies of the game, one for the Vita and one for the PS3, making it a very pricey feature. So you're not just buying...
Yeah, that's rubbish.
Yeah, whereas the Wii U, as I understand it, and I know we've not got a lot of details about the Wii U yet, but if you buy a game for the Wii, it's going to work on the Wii U. You don't have to buy two copies of it.
But they've also announced that it's Gamescon. If you buy, as you're saying, like the version of the game for the PS3 and the Vita, if you buy the PS3 version, you get the Vita version free.
On some games. The discretion of the publisher.
They are doing it in Europe. I suppose it was Gamescon. Sure, they're doing it in Europe. Like the main,
yeah, I would imagine it'll be Europe. Yeah. But that's at the discretion of the publisher, which I suppose is maybe something that Nintendo has. That Nintendo has quite... I know Sony has a big games library as well, but Nintendo has that whole thing like Wii Sports, Mario and all that kind of stuff, which is some of the main reasons why you buy a Wii.
Is it?
Well, yeah, okay, fair enough.
There's not many third-party games you buy any Nintendo console for.
So Nintendo are going to do this as a matter of course, so you're fine, whereas PlayStation do rely on a lot of third-party suppliers, and then it's up to that third-party supplier to decide whether they're going to do that or not. They did kind of go on to say that Sony has plans to beef up titles available for Vista and PS3 gaming together as well, so that's either cooperatively or against each other. I think you're at a little bit of a disadvantage if you're playing on a Vita. Mind you, it's got the same controls, I suppose, as a PlayStation. Anyway,
there was one cool game that they showed off. It was Gamescon. The first game I thought actually really good for it was made by the Little Big Planet guys. It was Media Molecule called Tearaway. It was called Tearaway. Sorry. And it was basically using the pad on the back, so it was like you're putting your fingers through it into the gaming world, and the way you moved it about would actually smack people about and wanted, because you're trying to protect your little dude. And it basically used everything, and being the makers of Little Big Planet, everything was just cute, but at the same time, really well done.
Yeah,
Stephen Fry in it.
Hand movement thing again. That is the most sinister thing I've seen in quite some time. Well,
stop imagining your balls.
It's like two upside down crabs tickling creepy, deformed.
Anyway. On to the preview section. What are you looking forward to this week, Chiz?
What I'm looking for... Well, this week, it's coming out soon. Could be quite dull. The next game I'm looking forward to playing would probably be, even though I used to hate the franchise, is FIFA 13, to be honest. I'm looking forward to that. Even though
You used to be a pro Evo guy.
Oh, yeah, but back in the day, I was a massive PES fan, but I think they've dropped the ball. Although new PES...
Like PES.
PES.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little dispensers. Oh, yeah. They're awesome.
But back in the day, PES or ISS.
Let's just have 10 minutes discussing that.
Sorry, Chiz, please continue.
No,
oh, you naughty little monkey.
Sam, what are you looking forward to?
We're just skipping Chiz.
He swore, so we're moving on.
Okay. Borderlands 2, actually.
All right, okay. When does that come out?
It's not that far away. It's like next month, I think. I can't remember the exact date off the top of my head.
Look at the research that goes in from Sam's side.
Yeah. You're going to check the month. That's all we need.
It's next month. Pretty sure.
The internets will tell us.
At least 20% sure it's next month.
Borderlands 2 release date is...
it's probably already out.
Great chance. September, 18th of September. So you were right.
Yeah.
Yeah, carry on.
Ish.
I caught lucky guess.
In the US and 21st of September internationally.
Okay. Yeah, I quite enjoyed the first one, although I felt it dropped the ball on a few places. It just... It didn't quite live up to what it said it would, but if it had, it would have been brilliant. And pretty much, I'm just hoping that the second one picks up where it left off.
Cool. I am looking forward to Baldur's Gate on the Mac and iPad. It's supposed to be coming out next month. Mm-hmm. It's called Baldur's Gate. It's got a bit at the end of it.
Is it a new one?
Enhanced, apparently. Baldur's Gate Enhanced. It comes out in the PC as well, and Android... to be announced, but it looks really good.
Whoa. Sam has no biscuits.
Oh, I just noticed that. Yeah, is it because we're having lunch after we finish recording?
Yeah,
you didn't want to spoil your appetite.
No, it's because I had breakfast just before I came over.
What, Sam was late. We were supposed to start recording this like 40 minutes before Sam decided to turn up.
It's 20 minutes. I was 20 minutes late. 20 minutes. My girlfriend lost the car keys.
That's a surprise, man. She leaves her glasses in the middle of the floor.
Her new pair of glasses have been eaten by the dog.
Oh, for God's sake.
Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition. So PC and Windows pre-purchase.
Is it just a slightly prettier version of the original Baldur's Gate? I did see it coming out for the PC, but I didn't bother looking at it because I still own the original version.
No, I quite fancy it. I own the original version.
I think you've got it, haven't you?
No. You bought me a copy for my 20th birthday.
Oh, did I?
Many moons ago.
I am so kind.
Yeah, that was, 11 years ago or something like that? Yeah.
What happened?
I'm still kind.
Ravished by time and the weight of the world, it's turned you into a deformed, horrible human person.
Dead. I'm dead inside.
Yeah, so that looks really good. I'm quite looking forward to that. But should be out next month.
Some brain slugs.
Yeah. North Korean jungle brain slugs.
Yeah.
So we are riddled with show titles this week. Yeah.
riddled with other things as well.
North Korean jungle brain slugs.
What have you been playing this week, Sam?
I have been playing, because of a slight failure of a new game to turn up, I have finally stolen my Xbox back.
Hooray! I think we're going to do that tomorrow.
Yeah, I did it last week.
All right, okay.
On the chance that I actually got a game this week, but it didn't happen.
Did you trick Joshua Shiny thing?
No, I just said there's boobies over there and he ran away.
Oh, right. Yeah, checked him with something.
Yeah. so I've got that back and I've just been rehashing Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, which, well worth going back to be honest.
Awesome games.
They are awesome.
Yeah,
if you leave,
really good.
I mean, we used to play them a lot, but if you leave them for a while and go back, the whole thing kind of... it just blew me away all over again.
It's the only game we're actually playing it, especially four-player co-op. I think it was three of us and Lewis what we're trying to play. Yeah. The only game played where you play in the hardest setting and it's horribly crippling but funny as hell at the same time. Yeah. Just somebody going, "Oh, you gotta help me!" Over the microphone.
Mainly me. Mainly me.
It's like, stick together! It's coming again!
Do you remember that time that we tried...
Tank!
It was...
Yeah.
The sodomy.
me and Chiz and our respective girlfriends, Kirsty actually, but Chiz's girlfriend at the time, we decided to do a four player. And actually, your girlfriend at the time was particularly good at it. And you were good at it, and I was good at it. And then Kirsty was just standing in the corner of a building, just pointing up in the air, just pirouetting round.
Kirsty!
So we ended up, the three of us, just having to stand and defend her the whole time.
Yeah. It was a slow round to that one.
Yeah. It was good though. I actually, I have a friend who met his now wife playing Left 4 Dead on a public server.
Yeah.
It's a fun story.
How strange.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah. They still play it regularly as well. Yeah. That was years ago. 4 or 5 years ago or something like that. Anyway, moving on.
Is it that old?
It will be. Yeah, it will be, actually.
The first one probably isn't far off that. Yeah. Well, there's Left 4 Dead who came in just a year after it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It'll be, well...
Thanks to...
At least 3 years old, I would say. Mm.
Thanks to Valve's odd gaming creation system.
Yeah.
What do you feel like doing today?
Yeah.
Just drinking coffee, actually. Let's not do anything for a couple of years.
Clearly none of them can be bothered making Half-Life 3.
They just get really excited and go, I played Half-Life yesterday. It was pretty good. We should probably do something about that. Okay. I know, coffee again.
Chiz, what have you been playing this week?
I've been playing Metal Gear Solid HD.
Cool. The original Metal Gear Solid in HD, is it?
It's re-released for the Xbox 360 and PS3 of... it was Metal Gear Solid 2, Metal Gear Solid 3, and Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker was on the PSP.
Mm-hmm.
But you put it on the console. Basically, after playing Metal Gear Solid 4, I got back and I went, I'm going to revisit that, because after being really annoyed, because I've still got MGS3 for the PS2, but I can't play it because I've got rid of my PS2 and my PS3 isn't backwards compatible, which really annoys me that Sony removed that function. But they've changed. What's really good about it now is, because they did two versions of that game, and I bought the first version. The second version, they had the camera where you could actually move with the right stick.
Yep.
Well, before that, the old MGS games, the camera was always locked up above, or the camera would move in a preset way, like in Resident Evil or something.
All right.
It was always set above, which was kind of annoying. When you try and try to sneak past someone, but you couldn't actually see them. Yeah. You know, you see the top of you, and this guy's further up, even though if you look at line of sight, you're actually constantly flicking back and forward from your own view, pressing the button for that, and go back to top view. So it's, you get the hang of it, but it's much better having a free camera that you can actually can control, and it makes the game far, far better. So yeah, I've been diving back into that and seeing the craziness of Hideo Kojima's brain. But MGS3, I think, is probably the best one out of the lot, because it was, I really enjoyed the first one. It was on the PS1, which is probably the best sort of pace and story and action and stealth. The second one, too much story and gay boy riding, who actually came good in Metal Gear Solid 4. They made him a ninja cyborg. they made him a ninja cyborg, but you couldn't play as him. So great, and play as him as a lady boy in Metal Gear Solid 2 when he was a crap character, but then take away the chance of playing him again when he actually became a cool character. I said, dear God. But
Only really ever played was it Metal Gear Solid 2? The one that came out in the PS2, that was the demo level. You got, sorry, Kirsty's iPad sitting over there and it keeps on bleeping. Where the demo level that you got was on a ship. Freighter, was that Metal Gear
It was
Solid
Zone of the Enders, and you got that, because I remember just renting, I remember being kind of bad and going to Blockbuster as soon as that game came out, and I made sure, I was the first thing to grab a version of it. Nicked the Metal Gear Solid demo out of it, then handed it back after. But I played a bit of Zone of the Enders, but I played the demo most of the time when I read it, and no one complained because I just kept the demo disc, because it was basically, and I went, ha. But yeah, I think that probably boosted the sales of that game, because folk were desperate to play that, and it blew everyone away. It was just awesome. But looking back on it, is kind of that fixed view from up above. I'm glad they've changed that now, because it was just a bit of a pain in the arse.
That was during that period whereby you used to take your power for your PlayStation into college for you, so that your flatmates couldn't use your PlayStation.
Yeah, Duncan was because he bought the PS2, and because he was a massive anus and was jealous that he was going to uni and had days off for skiving, I would sit at home and play the PS2. So what he did was he used to take the power cables.
Oh, it was him that did it. I thought it was you that did Sorry. No.
He would take the power cables out of it and take them to college, so I couldn't play it. So I just, because there were non-power cables for my PS1, I had a PS1, I just went, well, this will work, screw you. So I used to plug it in, and when I knew he was coming back, I just unplug it again to make it like I'd never been playing it, until I eventually got caught and he actually took his whole PS2 to college. And what a petty.
Oh, we do have to bleep that.
Duncan Jameson, you know.
And again, we've beat last. After me saying that, we're not allowed to swear this time. We've beaten the last one.
Yay, sweary.
And then as you start listening to the podcast, you'll enjoy the shout out. And after that obscene message Angie sent you and claiming to be me, getting off to this podcast.
Oh, cheers.
King off is not a
cheers.
Cheers.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
You're far too PC, you guys.
I'm not, but that is.
I've been, moving on, I have been playing Risen 2. What a horrendous pile of baboon crap that
Do you know
game
what
is.
Would have made that game a hell of a lot better?
What?
If you let me play it first.
We had an argument after the last show because...
Wasn't an argument.
Sam tried to play the game, and I don't like people playing games that I've bought first. I'm happy to play it for half an hour and then you play, but I like to break the seal. It's a weird thing of mine. Anyway,
I've heard that.
The premise of the game is basically you're a pirate. Well, you're not, sorry. You're part of the Inquisition. And you basically have to go and get into the pirates and go undercover and all this other crap. But it was really impossible to get actually into the game because you had to buy training to upgrade your character. So if you wanted to like get to another level of being able to like talk people, it's called I can't actually remember the name of the word, silver-tongued. So if you wanted to like to talk people and persuade people, you needed to buy that. So you needed to get gold to buy that. And the biggest thing that I had was when you got onto this island, the only place that I could find to do any work to get any money was this chef guy, and you could go and work for him. But the only way you could get that work is if you were silver-tongued level 2, and you had to buy silver-tongued level 2. So it was this ever-decreasing problem whereby I could not... And I was getting little bits of money here and there, and the island was just so big, and I wandered about for ages and ages. I played it for 4 or 5 hours, and if you wanted to get a better gun, you needed to pay somebody like 10,000 credits to learn how to make a better gun, but you could only ever like gain like 200 credits at a time, and it just... the acting was the voice acting was horrendous. The actual characters moved like they were on strings, so they were kind of reacting to things that was happening just after them, and it was very jolty movements. That just the whole thing was just pathetic, in my opinion. I never ever trade games back in. I generally keep them because.
Well, why did you buy this game?
It was a bit of an impulse buy. I needed to buy a game to review. I hadn't played. Actually, that was it. What occurred to me? Sorry, moving on a little bit. What I was really hoping it was essentially Red Dead Redemption, but with pirates, or Grand Theft Auto with pirates.
That was never going
to
happen.
Yeah, I know, but I was kind of hoping I would love Rockstar to do a pirate game.
Yeah,
similar to Red. That would be awesome. Anyway, that was what I was kind of hoping we were heading for, and I was kind of thinking if it's a little bit like Skyrim. A little bit, even Skyrim, Pirate Skyrim, which it had all the mechanics of being able to level your character up and stuff like that, but it was painful to play.
You say that like Skyrim was easy to make. Yeah, no, like a Pirate Skyrim, what's so hard about that? Make it!
No, I don't mean it like that. I just mean...
The amount of bugs that game has tells you how hard that game was to make.
I bet there's a Skyrim Pirate mod.
I bet there probably is somewhere, but... It was pathetic, so I'm handing that game back. And the only reason I got it was because I realised before the last show, about a week before the last show, I hadn't played anything new to review, so I ordered it, just a bit of an impulse buy, and I'm regretting it. So I'm going to take it back and trade it in and get something else. But the other thing that I wanted to talk about as I was doing this week is I listened to an audiobook called Ready Player One, which I would highly recommend. It's basically... And the reason I mention it here is because it's about...
a game.
It's about a game, essentially. It's kind of like if you imagine World of Warcraft mixed with Second Life, but it's all done like with like kind of haptic suits and virtual reality helmets, so you are essentially in the game. You can, like, in the real life, you can buy... real life in the book. You can buy, like, kind of running pads, so, like, when you run, you actually run in the game. When you get shot, the haptic suit kind of does this, you know, like, kind of... makes you feel like you've been shot and stuff like that. Really good book, really interesting. And basically the plot of the book is the guy who made the game has died and left his entire fortune to somebody who can solve these three clues and get through these three gates, essentially. And it's really, really good book. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Ready Player One. And Will Wheaton does does the audiobook. Very, very good. Lots and lots and lots of 80s references.
Why did you say his name as if you're whispering into someone's ear?
It was a Family Guy reference.
That's how he feels like.
No, it's a Family Guy reference. Will Wheaton.
I've not seen that Family Guy.
And moving swiftly on.
So that's what I've been playing this week. Anyway, on to our advert for this week. It's UK2. Thank you, UK2.
That's it.
Yeah. Everybody say thank you, UK2.
Thank you, UK2.
Now, UK2...
I had a lovely time, and thank you very much for my dinner.
UK2 sponsored the British Tech Network, and have done for a little while. They also have some voucher codes for us to get some groovy stuff off them, so like DNS and domain names and stuff like that. So what you need to do right now is you need to head on over to the British Tech Network site, so britishtechnetwork.com, click on sponsors, click on the UK2 link on there. Don't go straight to UK2 because they like to know that we sent you. And then if you head into UK2, and then you can buy domain names. And I like buying domain names. I have a lot of domain names. I have a lot of domain names. So, for example, if we wanted to buy the domain name Sam's Baboon... Hang on. Baboon Diaries. Do you want .co.uk or .com?
.co.uk. Com's cheap.
So we'll get samsbaboondiaries.com. What do you reckon? Is this going to be taken?
It's for the colonies.
Oh, you probably will be. It is for the colonies.
Yeah. Hence why I said it.
Yeah. Mm. I was agreeing with you.
Oh, we can get .co.uk. Well done. Sam's Baboon Diaries. So we can make a website.
Buy it.
That easily.
Buy it. Just buy it now. We'll need it.
So, okay, we'll use it for something in the future. So we'll continue to check out. And when you get to the checkout, having bought Sam's Baboon Diaries, or insert name here, Baboon Diaries, there's a bit at the bottom that says...
Melrose Security System.
MelroseSecuritySystem.com. Got a voucher code. Click on that. Pop in your voucher code, which I can't actually remember what it is now. It's a little bit of a longer advert than I normally do. British Tech Domains. So that then gives you... So if I was to buy Sam's Baboon Diaries, it's currently £6.46.
It's a weird advert.
Yeah. I think you're putting everyone off.
Yeah.
So I've now... there you go. It's now £5.16. because it's 20% off that. That's awesome.
It's like the homework they have to do at home when I'm doing this. Now get your paper and pen out. It's like, should we just do an art attack next week and get them to draw something?
So there you go, UK2.
You got your seashells.
If anyone can send us in a picture of what they think Sam's Baboon Diaries would look like, actually, I would quite like that.
I'd like someone to send us a picture of what they think us three look like.
Oh, that'd be fun. Yeah.
Cool.
I hope they get the ginormous birthmark you have on your face.
So
it's
if
not
you,
a birthmark, it's an acid burn.
If you want to use UK2 services, if you head on over to BritishTechNetwork.com, click on sponsors, click on UK2. On the sponsors page, you will see all of the voucher codes that we can use. Also, if you're going to log in at your account in the future, please do so by coming through the BritishTechNetwork.com. UK2 support British Tech, and you should support them too. On to the Bargain Basement Challenge. Sam, what did you have this week?
I had coffee break.
Yes.
Which I'm quite surprised in that this exceeded the... I'm going to have to swear, so get ready. The f***ness of the last really one that I had to play. It's terrible. I think if the country had an employment problem, if they handed this out to all the people looking for jobs, they would just give up. It's The Sims, but worse. In that it's even more pointless.
Nothing could be worse than
Sims. It's pretty terrible. If you take someone idiotic enough to enjoy The Sims and give them this, they still wouldn't like it. You wander around the office. You start off, you have no idea which one's your office for a start. You also don't know the name of your guy. So my guy was called John, right? You get a choice between John and Dave.
Really?
Yep.
Like you made that game.
No. John and Dave. And it starts relatively promisingly in that you go in and there's your two characters and they're talking to each other. I didn't really follow it. But they're talking, there's a bit of swearing, they've got comedy English accents, which I thought, oh, now that could be, that go for it, yeah, it could be all right. But they're talking, basically, I think they've been embezzling money, and they're trying to hide it from the auditors that are coming.
Right.
And then that stops, yeah, it's true, you're in the game, and you have to do your job.
Right.
So you have to do your job.
Is this the first third-person plot? What the hell is it?
It's like The Sims. It's like The Sims. Okay, so you're wandering around in the office. You have to go and make 2,000 photocopies of something or other and then take it back to your desk.
Oh, God, it sounds as bad as a start heavy rain when you have to literally do the feckin' dishes.
Oh, yeah. You have to...
Cage, die,
you have
please.
To go to a one-hour meeting. You have to make a half-hour phone call to someone. I'm not kidding. Because
is this
only,
real time?
No. All right. No, okay. It's much quicker. But you're there from 8 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock at night, which is fairly harsh working hours. But and he only gets one break at lunchtime.
So the whole premise of the game being coffee break, you only actually get one in the entire game.
Yeah, and it skips over it. So it goes, I tried to make a phone call, which lasted half an hour, and it went, no, you don't have enough time. Lunchtime's coming up soon. And lunchtime happens, and it just goes, do you want to save? No, I don't want to save. Just keep going. I want this misery to end. And then you go back in.
Could you actually make your misery end and jump out a window and kill yourself?
You can't do anything fun in this in any way. So anyway, you've got all your job aspect stuff to do. And then I noticed suddenly this thing was bleeping. So I had a look in into my PDA. And there's not only the jobs that I have to do to keep my job, but I also have, like, additional missions. So I had to go and talk to Ernest in accounting department and get on the good side of Ernest by saying, Ernest, don't have a birthday party with just you and your mum in your house. Why not have it in the office where all your real friends are? I then had to go and steal some, and this is why I think it's a French-made game, incidentally, because actually all the kind of little sim voicey chat, which happens all too often, is all kind of French accented. But you go and have to steal a bottle of booze from the meeting room and a plate of petit pois, no, petit flou or something. I don't know, some French.
Isn't it a yogurt?
I don't know what the hell it was. No, it's like a pet. It's a plate of pastries.
Is it not a child's yogurt?
I don't know.
I think it's a brand of a child's yogurt.
If it's French, I just drop it, generally.
Petit flou.
Anyway, so you have to go and steal these yogurts. And then you have a party around the coffee machine. And I was standing waiting. This is the end of it. I was standing waiting at the coffee machine for 6 o'clock to come, because that was the designated time for the party to start. I was at the coffee machine, just waiting, and suddenly a message started to pop up saying, "You have not joined the party. Get to the coffee machine." I realised that I had to click slightly above, but only on like a kind of on my monitor, a 1 centimetre square box, which there is no box there, but that's the only bit that you can actually click on. The pointer will only react to that bit saying "join the party." So just being there didn't work. I had to actively join the party. And when I did join the party, nothing happened. Just kept standing there, and I had to watch it for 5 minutes while he was at the party. It was phenomenally bad.
That game killed his soul. This story has killed my soul.
Yeah, I know. That was the longest review he's done.
It was horrendous.
It's always when he's angry.
Chiz, what did you have?
I had Don King's Prize Fighter.
How did that go, Chiz? Was there boxing in it?
Yeah. Well,
how?
The game starts off. I thought, right, I'll do career mode. See what the story's like.
Yeah.
They've actually fleshed out a story. Like, basically, it's like they've actually filmed real people, and it starts. Like, the whole game is set like a documentary, as if like you've already lived your life, you've retired. It's like looking back on your career, and you're known as the kid at first. And they went, "Oh, I remember the kid." Like, you've got these famous boxers. Mm. You've got like Don King. "Oh, I remember when I first saw him." And like you go through that, and then eventually, once you get, it's like loading
it
screens
like
between.
Don King was in the room.
I know.
That's why I've painted myself black. I can't believe you didn't ask why. But
I just thought it was one of your things.
Black side.
Yeah. Oh, keep going.
Annoyingly, there's a loading screen between each one of his videos. There was a loading screen for everything. The loading screens were bloody awful. And then eventually got to actually design my character. You can choose like your facial features. So I thought, right, at this point, it'll be the most fun part of the game. I'm going to enjoy this bit. So I ended up just, without actually having any real idea of what I was going to turn him into, I named him Turdbag.
As you do.
Yeah. And then I basically randomly put all the features at the highest or to the lowest, depending on the ear size and face size. And without knowing until I'd finished creating him, he looked a lot like Mr. Burns, which I'll show you guys.
I'll put the photograph in the show notes for.
Incidentally, I'd just like to mention while he's finding this photo, Chiz is wearing a Metal Gear Solid T-shirt today.
Yes,
that is hideous.
I couldn't get his hair, so I had to go a skinhead.
It's like a young, like very aggressive Mr. Burns.
Yeah. You know, he looks like Russell's old flatmate, Chris Hammersley.
No.
Yeah, well, he looks like.
Thanks for that, boss.
That's the end of the story. I do it because the pink isn't coming out much on his shorts, but they're pink and blue, leopard skin.
That's nice.
There we go.
So you enjoyed the game then?
I enjoyed that part of it, and then I got to the boxing, and the controls. I think the controls have been stolen from EA's version or something of that sort of game. But the graphic, I remember being blown away by the graphics when I first got my Xbox 360 of EA's of their boxing game. It was really well done. Graphics aren't that great in this one, even though this was made after that game. But the whole time I was playing this game, all I could think of was Rocky for the original Xbox was such a good boxing game. Did you guys ever play that one?
No.
It was based on the film. It was tie-in, but you wouldn't have thought it'd be good. But it was made by a developer down in Newcastle, which I think have hence closed, unfortunately. But they made two really good boxing games. And yeah, all the time I was thinking, was like, oh, I wish I was playing Rocky.
I had Handball Simulator.
How did that go?
Do you remember, don't know if you ever played Kickoff 2 on the Atari ST?
Yeah.
I did not.
Very, very similar to that. One of the biggest problems I had to begin with was when you pulled up the control menu, it showed like a SNES controller with like the red, blue, green and yellow, I think they were, buttons. And then they had letters beside them, which from memory, I think the SNES controller did have letters on the buttons. I can't remember. But anyway, that button configuration matched in no way, shape or form a keyboard control whatsoever. So I basically spent the first kind of 10, 15 minutes trying to work out what buttons do what. But there was like, there was two buttons. One was for a long shoot. One was for a short shoot. One was for a long... As in like shoot for goal.
Yeah, but it'd be a long throw.
Yeah, but they were called shoot.
Okay.
And then you had short pass and long pass. Mm-hmm. Was it attacking pass? I can't remember. Anyway, but I found four buttons that seemed to chuck the ball, but there was no indication as to which one was which.
They all seemed to be doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, exactly the same thing. It depended on how far away I was from the goal at a particular time. But having said that, I ended up winning the first match I played. Britain wasn't in it. You couldn't choose Britain.
Was it nationality teams, was it?
Yeah, it was nationality teams.
So it's quite realistic, then.
Yeah.
Yeah, perhaps.
I didn't even qualify for handball simulator of the game.
I think it was like, I was Jordan against France or something like that, or Croatia against France.
Sure, it said actually in Britain, Scotland and England were there instead.
No. There was no Britain, no Scotland, no England, no nothing. The graphics were pretty poor. I played a tournament, and I just continued to play a tournament. There was no logical. There was kind of a knockout-y type thing. There was no difference in teams. The teams seemed to be as poor as they were. I beat every team that I played, still not knowing the kind of the basic controls. I only conceded one goal in the entire hour that I played it, and I played like six games. Poor, poor game. Really okay. Poor. I don't think.
Done it again.
I don't think it beat Sam's.
That was an awful one.
I wasn't looking in his left hand.
I don't think it was as bad as Sam's, but it was a fairly poor game. So anyway, handball simulator. Don't buy it. Yeah. This week,
it
for
took
Chiz.
Me 20 minutes to find the photocopier in mine.
Look.
I had no idea where it was. It was horrible.
For Chiz, this week, Chiz, you have Command the Conflict on every level. You have Stormrise.
I've never heard of that.
I don't think I've actually heard of that one.
And
I did like my soul.
Sam,
this one better not be as bad. I can't cope with it.
Count Dracula has risen from his grave.
Is this one of those horrible murder mystery rubbishnesses?
It's called the Dracula Files.
It is.
You know, it's just got the word files.
Jesus Christ.
What do you guys have? Or by the neither you walked in with anything, I'm assuming you've forgotten this week.
No.
All right. Oh no, I have got one.
It's hidden.
You kind of.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
you. Yes.
Bus simulator.
We know you like your simulator games.
Bus.
I do know that out there somewhere. And incidentally, I have a worse one, but it exceeds the budget. What I actually want to get, Paul, for you is The Secret of Betty's Hot Pot, which is Betty from Coronation Street. And you have to find out the secret of her hot pot. But actually, it's coming in at £9.
Yeah,
so well. I've got to wait for that one to drop in price for you.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Half fare to Princess Street, please.
Thank you very much. If you want to contact the network, please email us britishtechnetwork@gmail.com. If you want to contact follow the network on Twitter, it's BritishTech @BritishTech on Twitter. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm @PaulWheatley. If you like what you've heard and you want your review read out at the beginning of the show, please leave us a review on iTunes. We really love to hear them. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you and goodbye.